There's one thing for sure. You cannot leave this place today without knowing this. There is a God that is bigger than all of our situations. And I don't know about you, but when I watch the news, I'm glad to know that God is still in charge, aren't you? I'm glad to know that God is not a Democrat, nor a Republican, nor an independent, nor is He required to do it by our rules. Our policies, when God looks at them, probably are considered with deep foolishness. But we have an opportunity today. We have an opportunity to turn our hearts and minds and actually become what we've been made to be. How many of y'all are excited that the church could become what it's already been made to be? And so the next 10 weeks is going to be really challenging because it's going to kind of be, okay, are you going to become what you've already been made to become? Are you going to become what you've already been made to become? Now, all this majesty and power and glory and in victory, guess what? That resides in the hearts of God's people. Well, I don't know about you last night. Last night, I was excited last night. I was at the Topper game. You know, when I remember the dark days of the Toppers, I remember going and pleading with God, God, just one. Lord, I'm not asking for a championship, not asking for a ring. I'm just asking to leave with a W. Last night, man, I watched the team move with excellence and attitude and execute. And you know what I thought? If you give it enough time, Oh, I remember some of y'all, I mean, it's over. Shouldn't have ever done this. Program's done. I kept saying, people got to grow up. See, I knew this because this was a part of the story here at Hillview. Part of the story here at Hillview was, man, we started with nothing. And even a couple years down the road, it still looked like nothing. But God had given a promise that someday. And I'd read enough of the scripture. I've read a lot of it now. But at that time, I realized that God never gives up on His people. That's what I love about Israel. They're not real good, but their God is. They weren't always real obedient, but guess what? Their God is. And so I want to give you, I hope you receive this hope today. If you and I will embrace the mind of Christ and we'll let God change two things in our lives. First of all, after our spirits are changed by the grace of God, I want to go over this again. I go over it every Sunday. And don't look at me like that, Chuck. You know why I go over it every Sunday? Somebody needs to know and somebody has forgotten. Somebody needs to know and somebody has forgotten. I was asked by, for some reason, guys, I don't know what's happening. Young preachers are asking me a bunch of stuff now. And they're asking it to me like I'm some kind of old preacher. And I tell them, I said, every Sunday I talk about the cross and the resurrection because I believe that's the only thing that can change a life. They said, well, do people get tired of hearing it? I said, well, if your people are doing what God told them to do, you're going to have some new people to hear it every Sunday. Now, if they're just sitting there, they hadn't got it yet. If they're not telling others about Christ, they haven't been changed yet. If their minds aren't changing, then God's not moving. Now, think about this just a moment. How many of you, God has changed your mind on some things a little bit? Now, this one, He's going to have to change it a lot on. I want you to know that all people, I didn't say some people. And if you're in here today and you say, well, Pastor Ayers, I disagree with you. Well, let me tell you what, you're wrong. Case settled. God has made all people, and all people have something worthy. Amen. I believe this. I believe that any person can be saved. And I want to tell you why that sounds simple, but it's very important. When you start believing that only some folk can be saved, only certain types can be saved, then you limit an almighty God's power. And here's what I know. I don't know a human being. I don't care how educated they are, how well read they are, how you know, observant they are. Nobody can tell God what He can do. And I think we need to be very careful in church circles telling God what He can do and what He can't do. What do you think? And the more I listen to Jesus, the more I hear this. Anybody could do something great. What do you think about that? Anybody could do something great. I can promise you all, this has been a weird year for me, been kind of a reflection year. I don't know what's happened. For some reason, I went to a 30-year high school reunion. I said, when did that happen? And then I have people in the class. Elizabeth went to the same high school, graduated with me. And they were going around, Elizabeth, are you a lot younger than Steve? I said, what's up with this? Yeah, this guy, now this guy wasn't from here, but he goes, well, you're considerably younger than your husband, aren't you? I looked at him, I said, man, you need to quit drinking. You know, I mean, crazy stuff. But anyway, at this 30-year reunion, you know what? People were still alive, and they said, "There's, we'd have never guessed you'd have been a preacher." I said, I wouldn't have either. God will do something great in our lives if we will just submit to God. And as I was singing those songs, victory, majesty, God reigns forever. Why wasn't this place up in arms? Because this is the church. We have the greatest victory of all humanity, and we celebrate it least than anybody. I heard more cheering about running a leather ball through a gold last night than I did about a great God that'll totally revolutionize a human being forever. Just a thing to take a check on. See, if we don't celebrate what God's doing, then people don't think it's real. Now, I know, listen, I'm not picking on anybody because we've all been church trained, right? I mean, they trained us for 100 years or so, a bunch of Europeans, white people. And they thought that being respectful to God was sitting there in silence. They should have read the Bible. When they came back from the victories, listen, guys, Jewish people are not silent. When they have a wedding, it's a party. When they have a funeral, it's a wake. When they celebrate life. And I want to encourage you, part of the attitude that we cannot lose at Hillview as we season. Season does not mean settle. And I think we've misinterpreted that sometimes, you know. People, some of them ask me sometimes, Ayers, when are you going to calm down? I said, never. I said, I hope I'm that old man and I take my cane and look at some young preacher boy and say, boy, go get it this morning. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. And so I'm going to ask you all to trade in sophistication for power. I'm going to ask you to trade in proper behavior for the celebration of the Lord. And I'm even going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to quit being polite and start being truthful. I think politeness is just a code line, how to lie with approval. And the Bible says this, the devil is the father of lies, even ones that the society approves of. So I just want to, you know, I mean, this is dangerous. JD, this is kind of dangerous. If we open up this can of worms, thousands of people could be saved. I mean, y'all really want to be involved in that? That means it takes 20 times as more people to do the oil change. Billy, though, that means there's not just one church on Main. That means there's 25 of them. You know, I really believe this. A lot of us don't want God to move real fervently because then it involves us more. We're like, God, I kind of got it good. I'm getting saved. I got my 9 to 5. I got you over here in my compartment. I see you every once in a while on Sundays and Wednesdays. Everything's good. But that's really not the life of victory and majesty that God's called us to. He says, I want to take your life and I want to show my heaven. I want to take your life and I want to show what? My heaven. So if you will, we got to get this attitude. Nobody is left out with God. Nobody. Is left out with God. And if you've been at Hillview even just a little bit, you know this. We believe anybody can come to know Christ. Amen. And that's why when you're around the Hillview campus, you go, wow, I didn't believe those kind of people went to church. Well, it's because we believe all kinds of people go to church. We believe that God loves people. And if you don't mind, if you'll just share with your neighbor just so we can all get it, okay? Just tell them, state this, confess this truth. God loves all people. If you don't mind, would you share that? God loves all people. Please share it. I want it to come out of your mouth. God loves all people. Because Claypool, guess what some people believe? Now, they would never say this because it would be impolite, but they live this. I've been to some churches, and when I look at the congregation, that church says God only loves some folk. You know why, Mr. Jackson? They all look alike. They all think alike. They all even wear the same clothes to church. They look like clones. I remember I was at the Southern Baptist Convention way back, about 20 years ago. It's the craziest place in the world. Every preacher's got on the same blue blazer, same pair of khaki pants, same haircut, and the Old Spice in there would choke a horse. They all come out of the same era, you know, with the holy flip side cut, you know, the big wing tips, the khaki, the blazers, and they all say, God. Like, his name has more power if you go, God. Do y'all do, I mean, I can't imagine looking at Elizabeth going, breakfast. just talk. Just be. I don't know why y'all are surprised. He's here. And they were talking about cloning. You know, Dolly the sheep had just been cloned back at this, you know, and they were like, this cloning could be horrible. I looked at her and I said, oh no, what y'all are talking about? I said, Southern Baptists have been cloning people long before we got to Dolly the sheep. And God's not asking us to be a clone. He's asking us to be his creation, involved in his grace, used by him to show the world heaven. Amen. And everybody's possible in that. Well, we got to start with a new mind. We've already gotten a new heart, and now that new heart's got to shape a new mind in us. Does that make sense? Those of us that follow Christ ought to have a new mind. This one today, I hope the Lord will establish in all of us. Please do not be hopeless. Do not be hopeless. Let the toppers be an illustration. Now, I had to get on Brooks this morning. I don't know where he is. He may be serving with the kids this morning, but you all know Brooks, right? Adamant Auburn fan. He kind of came in this morning because Auburn's having a rough time. University of Auburn having a rough time. Now, I remember when they had that Cam Newton guy. Well, Brooks was in here, and he was a Pentecostal for the whole football season, all the way through the national championship. And I said, now, Brooks, if you're a true fan, in the valley and on the mountaintop, amen? Well, guess what? If you're a true follower in Jesus Christ, in the valley and on the what? Mountaintop. The way I check it and read it, because it's true, God was the God of the desert, just like he was the God on top of the mountain with Moses. God never changed, but God desires to change his people. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be going through 10 attitudes that must change in us. 10 attitudes that we must allow God to help us rethink. Okay? So, Bob, in a real way, this is a 10-week series of lessons to help us rethink our perspective on how we engage in life. Okay? So, the first conclusion you ought to come to, say, wait a minute, if I believe in Jesus Christ, then I think differently than people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. What would you say to that? Yeah. You care about different things. And one of these today is one of the closest ones in my heart, because I believe everybody can get better. I believe you don't have to stay here. And I believe that we've done a terrible job in the nation with the poor. You know what I believe? I'm just going to tell you what I believe, and this is going to tick some of you off. I believe people want people to stay poor. What do you think, Johnny? I mean, God's appointed you to work in these kind of areas. Yesterday at the single mother's oil change, I want to show you grace. I want to show you power. Timmy, I want to show you possibility today. Had this single mom. She'd been coming to the oil change a couple of times. She came in. She had a tear in her eye. And she said, Pastor Steve, I want you to know, I am no longer the person I am, nor am I living the life I used to live because of the hope of Jesus Christ that is in me. You know what I said? Amen. Amen. I went, that sums up the sermon. She said, when I first came to Hillview, I had absolutely nothing. And she said, I want to thank you. When I came in here, I did not feel like a poor woman, but a human. Now, I'm going to blow you away today. Jesus addresses the poor. And I want you to know that we who follow Christ are the only instrument that is going to speak hope, possibility, and new opportunity into those that are in poverty. Okay, now first of all, I want you to get clear on this so you will quit being deceived. Poverty has nothing to do with money. Poverty has nothing to do with money. You ought to know that by now. If you have logic of a third grader, you will come to this conclusion. We have given poor people a bunch of money and they're still poor. So that ought to tell you it's not about what? It's about mindset. It's about how the devil takes our minds captive and convinces us we can't get out of there. How many of y'all have ever had that happen before? Now guess who will take your mind captive? The devil. He'll tell you, well, you're not going to get well. Well, you can't think this way. Well, you're not good enough for this. Or you can't do that. How many of y'all have ever just had something in your mind? It just, I can't do this. I can't be any more than that. But guess what God says? God says, I will make you who I want you to be. But we tend to listen to who? How many of you all listen louder to your incapabilities than God's capability in you? I mean, we just sung about mountains, majesties, forever, risen from the dead. And we tend to listen where we're limited, don't we, guys? Instead of where God would release us. Now, let's check this out. Isn't God a God of release? Come on, isn't God consistently a releasing God? So we got to get this release mentality. What would happen if just Hillview Heights Church, and I got good news. Living Hope, they'll join in. Jason's ready to roll. Crossland will join in. Man, they got the guitars going and rolling. Broadway Methodist Church will join in. You all know I don't care what flavor you are as long as you love Jesus. I told you that a long time ago. The kingdom of God's like Baskin Robbins. It's all ice cream in there. It just comes in 31 different flavors. It's all Jesus. It has some different expressions. God's bigger than we've made him out to be. His possibilities are endless. But our thinking is limited, would you agree? Now, Jesus sits his disciples down. Matthew chapter 5, greatest sermon ever preached. Greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus preached it in few words, and it has taken preachers over the centuries many words to explain the few words that he's preached. And here's why. What's Jesus constantly doing? Bringing heaven where, JD? To earth. I can ask you questions. You're an elder. You're supposed to know answers, right? Heaven to what? Billy, now that you're preaching and seeing people come to Christ, Billy, doesn't Jesus always say, I am not from here, but I've come to bring you what? Life. From where? He uses words like this. Susie does. He says, heaven, kingdom of heaven, from on high. From on high. So today, this teaching is from on high. It is not a lateral observation, but it is heaven intervening on earth's attitude. Have you ever looked at it like that? Jesus intervenes on my observations. Because how many of y'all have ever said that? These folk will never change. Come on, be honest. Dave, even up in Michigan, y'all said, well, you guys will always be that way. Right? Huh? Well, down south, we say it like this. Yeah, well, they just never make it. How many of y'all got certain groups of people you think it's impossible for them to change? Well, let me tell you why I know this. I've had the privilege, the joy, the absolutely life-changing experience to be one of the pastors at Hillview Heights Church, and I have seen thousands of people that weren't supposed to receive it, and do better at it than the critics who said they could never receive it. That's crazy! And you know why? Because they realize this. We got a God who lives up in heaven and not in Nashville. The Southern Baptist Convention is not all powerful. The Presbyterian Synod is not all powerful. The Methodist organization is not all powerful. The Vatican is not all powerful. God is all powerful. And how many of you all found this? A lot of you have lived long enough and you're very smart in this service. How many of you all found this? Whatever I make eventually tears up. Except Corvettes. Whatever I make, eventually what? How many of you ladies are always remodeling a house? Elizabeth's always telling me we got to paint something. I said, it's just you and I here. I love it. She says, well, it's got a scratch on it. I said, that's character. I said, ask Pastor Mark. He buys stuff with scratches all over it and calls it antique. I said, this is antique trim we have, honey. Stressed trim. I said, another 10 years, we can sell it to Mark for $5 a foot. Then he'll turn around and sell it to somebody with no sense for $25 a foot. Telling it was relished rule trim. We're crazy. God can change people. And I just want you to hear that today. Hillview, if there's one message I can give you from Christ today out of this part of the text, we are doing this, but not as much as we could. We're doing this, but not as much as we could. Jesus sat them down. He sat his disciples down on that hillside. Remember, this is about changing our mind. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and he sat down. Yep. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but he sat down because every Jewish tradition would know when he sits down, he sits in position of teacher, rabbi, rabboni. He sat down. Now, if one sits down to teach, then everybody else sits at the feet of the what? Teacher. You've heard that a lot in the scripture, didn't you? He sat at the feet. Paul said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. So he's going to sit at the feet. Now, who's in charge? Jesus. Good. Thank you. It's not the disciples, but who? Who's the smartest guy in the room? Good. He's got an edge. He's not from here. He's also got an edge. He can see the beginning and the end and how it correlates. Here's where you and I are limited. Don't be frustrated about this. You and I only know what we know. Come on, let's be honest. True? Now, this is what's so crazy. I don't even know what I don't know. How many of y'all don't even know what you don't know? That's pretty sad, isn't it? That doesn't mean we're stupid. It means we don't see it all at one time, right? How many of y'all, when your children were born, if you saw everything they were going to do instantly, what would you have done? I'd have given mine back. But along the journey, what happens? Elizabeth, watch this. The day that you got married, that beautiful day in your life, that hallmark moment in the history of your existence. Now check this out. If God had shown you everything that you were going to experience the next 25 years, would you have come on down the aisle? Honey, we're on a timeline here. Let's roll, huh? I'd say not. But you see, as we go through life, God reveals. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit is a revealer. Now, let's look at what Jesus said. He sat them down. And these are the first words. Now check this out. He's fixing to preach a sermon. Freddie, he's fixing to preach a sermon. Bob, you're a big theologian. The first words out of Jesus' mouth are not an astounding theological concept.
Repent.
No, not on this one. Well, yeah, repent. But guess who he mentions right off the bat? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Church, I just want to give you a heads up. Do not turn against anybody poor of spirit. For Jesus is for them. Now, this is not poverty of money in Matthew. In Luke, though, it leads to this. Luke says, blessed are the poor. Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Both of them hinge in the same truth. Who is poor of spirit? Non-Christians. All of us without Christ. All of us without Christ are the blessed of the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But there is only one way to receive heaven, and your spirit must be changed. Isn't that right, Professor Fainter? Without a spirit change, do we see heaven? And some of you are so frustrated because you've gone out and done your good deeds and your moral moments, and you said, I've done this and that and that and that, and I don't feel like God loves me because he's not impressed with you. Your spirit must be changed. Now, here's what's so cool. There are no poor spirits in heaven. Only redeemed ones. God can change anybody. His first words when he sits down, this is the big stuff. I figure it's the big stuff. I'm a simple man. I think God says what he means right off the bat. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means that this, God's attitude is, I want to bless my people, not curse my people. I want my people to receive me. I do not want to reject them. That would be the flow of God, wouldn't it? And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Countering to this, what do the rich want? Here's the danger of riches. What do the rich want? Because they do want more. And stuff what? How much stuff do you have to have here? I don't want to disappoint anybody, but guess what? I've done a survey. All of us will die. How many of y'all have made that observation? Okay, so please quit freaking out when your 102-year-old grandparent dies. And if you ask me the reason, I'm going to tell you, 102. There's a time to check out, right? Kind of like the hotel, you know what I mean? Y'all ever gone on vacation? They'll tell you, welcome. Well, when you first get there, it's welcome. How you doing? Don't worry, be happy. When it's checkout time, get out of here. Huh? Y'all seen that happen? Okay, well, there's a checkout time, but guess what? All of our earthly riches will be left here. Have you noticed that? They're just here. And I don't want to disappoint anybody, but you know all those plaques you worked so hard for that you thought made you a special part? I've been to a yard sale. Mark, what can you get to? What, Mark's gone. He's raptured. The rest of us have been left behind. Most of those plaques, how much they go for at yard sales? Kim's over here said free. You can throw them in on another part of the auction. I've seen a lot of them, 25 cents. That struck me that here are people who gave their whole life, forsook their children, their family, their husbands, the blessings that they could have had, for a plaque that recognized them for their great service, their great intelligence, and their great fortitude. And at the end, that goes for 25 cents. Or Kim says you can throw it in the package and get them for free. I think we need to be careful, and Jesus knew this. And here's what he's really saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what Jesus is saying by that? Don't miss heaven! Don't be so consumed in the down here that you forget there's a forevermore. And listen, I wish I could tell you I was good at it, but man, I watch the news. Any of y'all ever watch the news and get upset? Other than me as a pastor. Listen, it got so bad, Elizabeth won't let me watch the news. So I have to put it on the computer and go to another room. I had to fast the news because I would get upset. And finally she goes, I thought you believed in forever. I said, well, I'll tell you what, if this mess doesn't straighten up, it's going to be here before we know it. And she said, but wait a minute, preacher. What about the everlasting? And I looked at her and I said, I'll tell you what. I said, you know what I don't like about you, Elizabeth? She said, what? I said, you're right. It is about the forever. It's about the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so I want you to know, and today I just want to simply start this attitude. Two things today. Nobody left out. That's number one. And no poor person turned away. Ever. In this church, nobody that doesn't have anything, when they come to this church, they ought to see that they can become a child of God. Hillview, I am humbled by the way that you have welcomed all different types of people. But I wanted to encourage you today, keep your arms open. And I don't want to just pay people's electric bills. I want Jesus to give them a new life so they can pay their own electric bills. I want Jesus not to just, you know, Jesus is going to give them the life that he created in them. And there's a lot of sinful stuff that knocks us out of the life we could have. Yes. But Jesus says, wait a minute, I bring forgiveness and new life into your situation. So I want us to gear up on that attitude. Church, our job is to expose people, reveal to people, tell people, instruct people about a new life in Jesus that brings them to life. Fair enough. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what, Chuck? The kingdom of heaven. How many of y'all want to live in the kingdom of heaven? Okay, let me just help you with this. This is very important. If you die, you need to be in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. At checkout time, you do not want reservations south. Bad deal. And some of you are going, well, Pastor, I believe that hell is a primitive belief. Well, you may believe that, but it doesn't believe that. It believes you are made for it. And I tell you what, they are going to be, this is what breaks my heart as a pastor. They're going to be thousands of people who lived in America who listened to all this gibberish that was not based on the biblical principles whatsoever. They're going to perish in an eternity from hell because they would rather do what they thought than what Jesus said. And that's an ancient battle of time. Am I going to do what God has said is possible, or am I going to try to figure it out on my own? Here's what God says today through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Blessed are the poor in what? Spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of what? Kingdom of heaven. Mark, I needed you for a reference, but you'd been raptured. Here, we'll get the truth on that. Those plaques you know that you earn, Mark, you know those plaques you earn for being in a business for 50 years? What do they go for at a yard sale, something like that? Well, sometimes they don't even sell at all. Mark said sometimes they don't even sell. Now, wouldn't that be a kicker? Here, Jim, they've given you a gold plaque, you know, that's tarnished by now, and you're dead, and nobody wants to buy what you did. See, I'm showing you what real poverty is. Real poverty is to leave this earth with no hope. Real poverty is to do your dance and not dance on. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of who? Heaven. Now, here's the realization. We are all poor in spirit. So how do you know that? Do you all know any human that has not sinned? Now, watch this. I'll rephrase. You'll know some of these. Do you know some human beings that have not sinned according to them? Now, that's a different deal, isn't it? Because they only have about three commandments. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew. But there's 10. And those 10 commandments are there for one reason. The Apostle Paul said the reason the commandments are there is so I will come to the realization I am poor of spirit and have need for the blessing of Jesus. We don't honor God always. We do look in our neighbor's garage and want what they're driving. We covet. We have borne false witness. How many of y'all have ever borne false witness? How many of y'all have ever said something about somebody but you didn't really know is true? You just trusting who told you that it was true. Even men have done it. How many of you men have done that? Yeah, we do. How many of y'all have said something just to say it? But that's false witness. Unless you know. Blessed are the poor in what? For theirs is what? Kingdom of God. So tell the message of Jesus. It is the hope for all people. And I want you to go to James 2, and I want you to conclude on this. I want to thank you for being a church that does this, but I want to encourage you more so. More so. Welcome all types of people. All right? If they don't have a lot of money, so what? Watch this. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what people don't understand. You don't know what God's going to do with somebody. Would you all agree with me? Bert, you were there in the darker days of Topperland. What was everybody saying? Oh, in Bowling Green, we are classic in Bowling Green today. I mean, when we hit tragedy, we take it to a new dimension. You know, the stadium's going to be empty. It's going to go bankrupt. Everything's going to go upside down. The wind will never blow again, and the sun will never shine. Last night, we were the greatest team on earth. Now, we go the other way a little crazy, too. They were ready for an NCAA championship. God still has Alabama playing college football. You see, we get crazy about things that don't last. And we're very uncommitted about things that do. But I just want you to rethink What's this, 10 Sundays of what? Rethink. We may be down to 5 people at Sunday 7. We've got to rethink our minds. I want to take you to James 2, and I want to end there. Make sure you welcome all types of people. It's very important to God that we do not exclude anybody. Hillview, you've been very good about that, but I just want you to hear inside the church. Welcome all types of people. If you don't mind, just look somebody sitting near you and go like this. Welcome. Just go ahead and practice that. Welcome. Welcome. Come on. Welcome. 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 God says welcome. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Very few places in the Bible it says must not, better not. Kathy, this is kind of like when you're teaching or principling and you got that teacher finger out and said, we will not to those students. What'd that mean? That's zero tolerance policy. We must not show favoritism. But what do we tend to do? What do we do as humans? Come on, I'm going to get down to the core of it. Even if you got more than one child, is it tough to not show favoritism? My brothers and sisters even do this to me. They called me the chosen one for a long time. So I had to respond to them. I said, God has human beings that advance a little further than other human beings. And y'all will get it when you get in heaven. See what I'm saying? They don't understand. I was the oldest child. And if you're the oldest child, you take all the practice. Because your parents don't know what they're doing on you. And if you were the baby like my wife, they'd hardly know that you were there after they'd been wore out by 3 or 4 other kids. And you get away with everything. You know, look at here. My brothers and sisters, believers in our Lord, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, you must not show favoritism. Now, it gives some very powerful instruction here. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you can stand over there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. Hillview, let's keep reaching out. Amen. I want you to know that portions of your tithe, your offering, your blessing, your resources unto God, a large portion of that here at Hillview goes not to supplement, but to invest into people. Here's where it's different at Hillview. We invest so people might become better. Does that make sense, David? Yes. And you all know I coach kids. I get to be around kids. I've been around kids all my life. I love kids. And some of these kids, you know, they win your heart over, and I got 2 or 3 you're pouring into. And I had one a few years ago, and he's in college now. And so, you know, he needed a little moving situation, so he had to get a little resource. So I handed him that resource, and he grinned. I said, don't grin. He goes, what do you mean? He said, are you giving that to me? I said, I don't give anybody anything. I said, I'm tired of giving stuff to people. I said, giving stuff to people doesn't work. Now he's all puzzled. I got him thinking. I said, I'm willing to invest in you that you may multiply. I said, Jesus gave grace freely to me, but invested in me the kingdom of God that I would multiply and bear fruit. We're going to talk about that a few Sundays from now. I'm going to tell you now, listen, it's a warning. This is going to blow some of y'all away. I know some of y'all have softened up and gotten with the times. If you've gotten with these times, I'm going to warn you, you are way out of biblical line. Because this is what these times say. We're going to do everything the Bible said not do and end up with a blessing. Well, I tell you what a large portion of this population is going to come up doing. They're going to be as cursed as the fig tree was that Jesus passed by bearing no fruit. And here's the problem with fig tree, Mark. It wasn't a scrawny looking old tree. It was a flush tree with big, beautiful leaves. And Jesus didn't pick on the tree for being a tree. He picked on the tree for bearing no what? You know, there's a lot of churches. They got all kinds of stuff, but no figs. There's a lot of us in our lives. We look great on the outside. I mean, we got good looking leaves. We got nice roots. We got slick bark. But when we go over to our limbs, what do we have? No fruit. You know why? We would rather take all the nourishment to glorify ourselves than to do what Jesus said in the first words of his great sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Let that burn an edge in your heart, and let's go tell the world there's hope for anybody to change and live a different life. What do you think? If you're going to hang out at Hillview, guess how many times you're going to hear that? Every Sunday. I'll fight you over that one. I fight preachers all the time. Lovingly. I've calmed down over the years. I said, don't exclude people from that church. So Hillview, we're going to be black, red, yellow, white, green combos, whatever we put in. Remember back in the 80s, everybody was going, well, what's your targeted ministry? Targeted ministry. I said, here's what ours is. If you got a pulse, we're targeting you. Now, we don't target dead people because you're out after that, all right? And I've noticed we're more alarmed at death than we are at life. Go live in the kingdom of God. People call here when a loved one dies and they're like, you better come quick. Why? Why? They're dead. I can speak words of life into a dead man, and guess what? He cannot respond. I wish you had the same intensity. Pastor, get over here right now. My friend is poor in spirit and needs to hear about Jesus. Come quickly and tell them of the great hope that will change them forever. Blessed are the poor in what? Spirit, for there's the kingdom of God. James 2, do not exclude people based on their material accumulation. Jim Martin's one of the many wisdom things that you have spoken into my life. This is just one of them. Jim said, preacher, you know what the difference between poor people and rich people is? I thought it might be a trick question, so I just answered, no. And he said, rich people got more money. But everything else is the same. Y'all have noticed that, don't you? It's still the same sin. I always get tickled when it comes to alcohol. You know, if you make over $100,000, you have a drinking problem. If you're middle class, you're an alcoholic. If you're below the poverty line, you're just an old drunk. One's with a martini and one's with the cooks. One has wine in a cork and the other one screws it off. But it still has the same what? These deals don't work in heaven. Blessed are the kingdom, the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of what? Heaven. Well, that's a lesson today. Can y'all kind of make sure you keep your mind here? I'm preaching to the choir today on this one. Thank God that I am. Thank you, Jesus, that I can preach to the choir about loving poor folk. But let's keep loving poor folk, amen? Because guess who's poor?
We are.
Now, you got to love a lot of poor-spirited folks that got a lot of stuff. And what some of y'all will do is you'll go see them and get impressed with their stuff and forget to tell them about the good message of God. They'll open their garage and you'll be more overwhelmed by their Porsche and forget that they're in a Porsche headed to hell. Yeah. It's not about stuff. I found that all stuff breaks. Freddie, I don't own anything that hadn't had to be fixed. Huh? My house tears up. My cars tear up. I hate to confess this to y'all, but I've even had to work on a Harley before, even though it's a great piece. No. Even German engineering falls apart. When you take those suckers to the shop, you really find out they're proud of them. It all falls apart, doesn't it? That's why it makes me nervous sometimes to fly. You know why? Sometimes I get on a jet and everybody's all smiling. I'm going, somebody put that engine together. I wonder if they were having a bad day when they checked it. And guess who's flying the plane? A computer that a human programmed. There's nothing secure but this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of God, because Jesus never changes. Amen. Never changes. Well, if you've learned today that, guess what? You are poor in spirit, it's because we've all sinned. There is a solution, and he has his name. His name is Jesus Christ. He would love to come into your life and to forgive you of all your sins and change your spirit. Now, follow the process here. Until you are forgiven, you will not change your mind. And here's what you can see. Attitude changes everything. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it, is a whole different attitude than this. Well, I got to get through another one. How about I get to live another one? Amen. Y'all been more than great today. If you don't mind, let's stand up. We want to open this altar up. If you know you need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? Jesus already knows that, and he's drawing you out today to be saved. If you've never been baptized, we're going to highly recommend that you get baptized. Why? Because Jesus asked you to do so. We're not a real complex church, just a real effective one. Here's what we believe. If you do what the Lord says, it'll happen. And if you don't do what he says, guess what? It doesn't happen. I don't care how many Christian bumper stickers you put on your car. You got to put them in your heart. And God will change everything. Let's pray. Lord, open this altar up. Draw people to faith. Draw people to baptism. Draw people to understand that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us welcome all people, not some people. Let us not exclude anybody, God, and let us recognize that we are not you. Lord, help us realize how limited we are by the books we read and the websites we go to. And for us to open our mouths and speak like we have some ex-cathedral moment in our mouths. Help us become followers of Jesus Christ, lovers of God, of people, and of heaven. So, Lord, those that need to be saved, bring them right now. Those that need to be baptized, bring them right now. Those of us, Lord, who've gotten slightly arrogant, come and humble us, and may we understand our own poverty. But as we understand our poverty, may we understand your richness today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Church, this altar's open. You got plenty of time to come, because it's time to come. And just come and be prayed over. Let God speak into your life today. Thank you for coming. Come on, church. Let God have a moment with us today.